Blog Talk Radio.
Night departs, a star proclaims, the singing heart.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And how wonderful that is. Jesus was truly born on December 25th, 2 BC. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And so, and what a night. And what a, well, we have the month of December to prepare for Christmas. And that is so important. And that is exactly what we will do. And we are about keep Christ in Christmas. Keep Christ in Christmas. As we prepare for his first coming. As in Advent, we are also remembering that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead one day. And so looking at the nativity scene, we can become a little childlike and allow the wonder of the marvelous way in which the Lord wanted to come into the world and be born in us. Thus, will revive in us, and today we see the need. And so, and that is exactly what this is about, as we are in Advent and we're preparing for the coming of the King. Now, I like what it says here. Isaiah in 7:14, 7th chapter of Isaiah, verse 14. And this happened in 742 BC. Isaiah says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. And in 742 BC, in Micah, he was a contemporary of Isaiah. It says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient times. And then in 538 BC, in Daniel chapter 9:24, 70 weeks are decreed for your people and for your holy city, which would be Jerusalem. Then transgression will stop and sin will end. Guilt will be expiated and everlasting justice will be introduced. Vision and prophecy ratified and a most holy will be anointed. And we're referring to Jesus here. And so, on the 9th of Av in 586 BC, the destruction of the temple, 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 18 through 25, people will often start the priestly rotation on the 1st of Nisan, 538, as it began in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 24. But instead, they resumed their rotation beginning with the 9th of Av. And this broke cycle of the priestly duties, which would resume in 538 when the Hebrews returned from exile out of the Babylonian captivity. And this would set the stage for an important event. Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah was conducting his duties about October, between the 2nd and 9th of October, Yom Kippur. And we're looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 10, the prophecy of John the Baptist through the angel of the Lord. Now that's huge. And then in 63 B.C., Pompeii, abomination spoken of by the Jewish historian Josephus, said that it was 27 years from this date to when Herod captures Jerusalem. And so let's go back a little bit here. But let's go back to 36 B.C. That was a sabbatical year during the Jewish high festival, Yom Kippur. Jerusalem fell to Herod, whose reign begins on the 1st of Nisan, 35 B.C. And this is important because Herod's death takes place soon after an eclipse on January 10th, 1 B.C. So King Herod would be the ruling authority in Judea. He was a puppet of Rome at the time of Christ's birth, December 25th, 2 B.C. And so let's go back to September 8th, 18 B.C., the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, the new Eve. The woman, together with her seed, would bruise the serpent's head while the devil strikes at their heel. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and Revelation chapter 12. And so October 3rd, B.C., now remember, just a moment ago, we were just talking about Zechariah, the priestly division of Abijah, was conducting his duties October between 2nd and 9th during Yom Kippur. Well, on October the 3rd, B.C., the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the busiest day, temple day of the temple, Luke chapter 1, 10. And sometime late March, early April, the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and announced the coming of John the Baptist. And then something else very significant takes place about the same time period, September 3rd, B.C., the planet Jupiter was in conjunction with Regulus, the brightest star in the constellation of Leo the Lion. And this would be the star the wise men would follow, leading them to Bethlehem. They followed the star for about 16 months until the star rested over Bethlehem for 6 days, beginning on December 25th, 2 B.C. And we can see, if you go to Isaiah chapter 60, 1 through 6, you can see where the wise men followed the star. And on February the 2nd, B.C., Caesar Augustus received the title Pater Patria on February the 2nd, 2 B.C., on February 2 B.C., calling for his presence in Rome beginning early fall in 3 B.C. The governor of Syria was Quirinus, Luke chapter 2, verse 2, who acted as governor of Palestine through 2 B.C. This is important because of the decree for the whole world to be enrolled, in which is what leads Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, and which would fulfill the prophecy of Micah 5:2. And then in March, April 2 B.C., in the 6 months since the announcement of John the Baptist, October 2 B.C., the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, Hail, full of grace, kakertomene, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting was might be. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end." Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 22. So March and April, 2 B.C., Mary hastens to visit Elizabeth, who was in her sixth month of pregnancy. June 25th, 2 B.C., we have the birth of St. John the Baptist. And now the Christmas story, December 25th, 2 B.C., the birth of Jesus. For a child is born to us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder, dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful. From David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. Now, this is so important. This is so important when you look into this timetable here that we get with the angel announcing to Zechariah about the coming of John the Baptist. Now, that's in October 2 B.C. October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Okay, so you're looking at a timetable. If you really to look at this, it shows. In fact, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, 8 months later, December 25th, 2 B.C. And so, on December the 25th, 2 B.C., the angels announced the good news and the visitation of the shepherds. The total number of generations from Abraham to David is 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. And from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah, 14 generations. Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. December 31st, 2 B.C., the visitation of the wise men following the star of Bethlehem. And soon after, Jesus' presentation at the temple of Jerusalem after Mary's purification process of 40 days. The vision of the angels to travel another route from King Herod to St. Joseph, Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. And January 1 B.C., Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law, and was formally given the name Jesus by St. Joseph, as the angel Gabriel had directed to Mary at the Annunciation. And then January the 10th, 1 B.C., the eclipse spoken of by the Jewish historian Josephus, who then identifies King Herod's death soon after. And this would have been his 37th year of his reign, as shown by Josephus. And the wise men in their caravan stayed and camped around the area of Bethlehem until after the presentation of the Lord. And we know from reading Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, the wise men receives a message in a dream to go another route and to not seek King Herod. For timing's sake, I am simply adding February the 2nd here, which marks the 40 days after the birth of Christ and his presentation at the temple. And by this time, Certainly King Herod would be waiting for the wise men to report back to him with much anxiousness. And so, on February the 2nd, 1 BC, the same night that the wise men received their message from the angel, Saint Joseph receives the vision to flee with Mary and Jesus from King Herod's massacre of the holy infants, trying to kill the Christ child. And Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 15 says, "When they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And Saint Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. They stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son." And so we are preparing for Christmas. In 567 AD, the Council of Tours established the seasons of Advent and Christmas into the church calendar. And the Christmas season runs from December 25th through the 6th of January, the Feast of the Epiphany, the Wise Men. And in the 12th century, St. Francis of Assisi inspires plays and caroling through the Nativity scene. And with all the historical evidence, it is clear that the Catholic Church remembers and keeps the 25th of December as the celebration of the birth of the Lord that was promised since the fall of man. The point made is that Christmas is not of pagan origin, as some will say. People of all ages can appreciate the true meaning of Christmas as we keep the story alive in our hearts. And here at Deeper Truth, we want to wish you all this Advent and this Christmas, as we await Christmas, which we will be coming to on the 25th of December. And there's a whole lot of more. And so I just love the Christmas season. I do. I love the Christmas season, the time, and we pray for peace. We pray for peace as what's going on in Israel and what's going on in Palestine and the Ukraine. May this Christmas, may Christ become alive in our hearts.
shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles in journey long for you. And to the place at which you were there, frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
and I've got caller 914 area code. Can you give me your first name and where you're calling from? This is Don Hartley with Deeper Truth. 914. 914. And I've got Doc from Tennessee. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, man. I wasn't sure there was going to be a show, so I thought I'd call in, and glad to see the show's on.
Well, we're just doing our, for the month of December, we're doing some about preparing for Christmas. And this is part one special tonight. Jesus was born December 25th, 2 B.C. And so for the rest, so we'll be just preparing and showing, you know, the different, you know, from the star of Bethlehem, the politics that was taking place in, you know, at the time of Christ, and, you know, with King Herod, and all of these things, and how all this was, everything leads to December 25th, 2 B.C.
Yeah, the politics back then were crazy, man.
Well, they were crazy, definitely.
I see a lot of similarities in the politics back then as I do now. You know, a lot of foreign government influence into the local government and into the federal government. You know, kind of like Rome coming in and, you know, taking over of the Jews. Yeah.
Well, exactly.
And a lot of the Jews kowtowing to it.
And so, yeah, we will get into a lot of finer points as we move forward. And this is just part one. As today, we're just wanting to show our position is that Jesus was truly born on December 25th, 2 B.C., and we dispel the notion that the church stuck it up there to, you know, to compete with pagans and things like that. So there's all kinds
of... Somebody actually showed it on a calendar. I should have paid more attention to the dates that he did, but he actually showed it on a calendar that that was the date Christ was born. He included the leap years, and when you when the Gregorian calendar was made, he even took it back before that.
Well,
the calendar we are on now is the Gregorian calendar. Catholics gave us that calendar. The Catholic Church did.
Yes, it sure did.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, that's why they call it the Gregorian. It was under the time of Pope Gregory.
Right.
So we'll be talking here about the prophet Balaam's Christmas star of Bethlehem. That'd be coming up here. And there's just so much that we're going to be focusing on here. You know, and I love this this whole thing that the angel appears to Zechariah and announces the coming of John the Baptist. And you could actually see from the New Testament, from the date, which happened during Yom Kippur, which would have been October 2nd through 9, 2 B.C.
2 B.C.
Well, you know, John the Baptist was born on June the 25th, 2 B.C. So now you go from June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Yes. And so is it that easy? Yes, it is.
Pretty much.
But John, how are you? How's everything with you and your family? How's Michael doing and everything?
Michael's doing good. Yeah, Michael's doing good. I actually had him out on the farm today.
Okay.
We were doing a little target shooting with the crossbow, and it was a good time to spend with the boys. I don't get to spend as much time with them as I like, you know, and they've hit that age where they don't really want to spend time with Dad. They want to play on their video games, you know, because getting outside and doing stuff, that's not fun. But we had a good time.
Well, did you hit a tree with your crossbow?
No, I hit the target, not initially. It wasn't sighted, so that's all we were doing. And I got it to where the bolts were hitting the target, and I got it right where I wanted it, and then the daggone string broke. So I set it in to have it restrung.
Well, but I'm so happy that the Alabama Roll Tide won today. They beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, and so my wife and I basically standing up and cheering with that. So we're excited about that.
How is Gigi?
Well, she's hanging in there. She's hanging in there. She's had some of that Kansas crud, what I used to call the Kentucky crud. But, bad cough and cold. But she's doing all right.
It's that time of year. It's that time of year.
Change of weather.
Cough and cold. You know, they're trying to make a big deal of it. This RSV stuff they're talking about. Folks, don't be fooled. RSV is an infant child disease. It doesn't affect old people. You know, all that stuff they're talking about is a lie. I was a paramedic for 35 years. I never transported an adult with RSV. Not in 35 years. Lots of children and infants. Typically, if you live past 2, you're immune to it. So,
well, supposed to be a kind of a new one, isn't it? The new
no,
threat?
No. It's this time of year when cold and flu season comes out and they're trying to scare people into taking another jab, just like with the COVID vaccine.
No.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, it's cold and flu season, folks. And guess what? I hate to say it, and it's real sad that it happens, but people are going to die from this cold and flu season, just like last year and the year before that, and just like next year. I'm not trying to be cold on that, but death is a reality. And it says in that book, Our Daily Bread, if you do not prepare by living well, you are a fool. Well, it says, I am a fool if I do not prepare for my death by living a good, holy life. I am a fool. So don't let them scare you into, oh, you got to get a new vaccine for something that's not real. You know, there is a respiratory virus going around. It goes around every year. And if it takes me out this year, so be it. You know, that we all end up right where we belong. You know, and I'm going to try and live the best life I can and be the best person I can and follow God and try to leave my kids in a good place and let them know that God loves them and that I love them and their mother loves them. And when my time comes, it comes. But I'm not going to let them scare me into taking some experimental poison depopulation thing and let them stick it in my arm, you know, or my family. If I can put the word out and stop one person from doing it, then I'm good. I'm happy. You know?
Well, yeah. And I think
know you're not a big
hygiene,
fan of them. Pardon me?
No, not at all. Not at all. Personal hygiene is very important.
Yes,
I believe that.
Wash your hands.
To wash your
definitely
hands.
Wash your, if you're sick, don't go out. You don't quarantine the healthy. You quarantine the sick. You know, I heard a radio show, or not a radio show, commercial, and they were talking about, you know, if you're healthy and there's sick people, quarantine yourself. Well, that's not what we do. That's not what you're supposed to do. If you're sick, stay home. You don't want to get other people sick. But, you know, if you're healthy, you wash your hands, eat right, take zinc, take vitamin C. Yes, do all the things they
I
told
think
us
that's,
to do because it works.
Yeah. I think so. I think that is so important.
Don't hide and don't run, and by all means, do not get this this poison they're pimping again. You know, because the people that are making it, they make money off of sick people. They don't make money off of healthy people. So why would they give you something that's going to keep you healthy? And you just think about that. Yeah.
Well,
I know I
was as you know, I was a combat medic in the Army too, and you
yes,
and I have.
I
we both came from a very strong medical background in that sense. So, and Gigi, you know, being a nurse as she is,
right?
Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure she would agree with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, especially
yeah.
after what that thing did to you. You know, I mean, you know, just
yeah.
by the good Lord, you're still with us, and I thank him every day for that. But, yeah, I don't think that you'll be lining up to get the next one.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. So, but I am all about right now Christmas and getting ready for right now, Advent, the coming of the King. And as we're preparing for Christmas, well, if you look at the readings of Advent to, you know, until Christmas, it's going to be talking about when Jesus returns, the parousia. So
right.
that's where our hearts and minds should, the expectation should be. And hopefully... And that's, you know, to go to Mass and stay in the state of grace and go to confession.
I've been telling a lot of people when they're attacking Israel or Christianity and whatever, I've been telling them they need to pray the rosary. And,
exactly.
That they need proper catechism. And I've actually, they come at you with such anger and hatred, and when you respond with something that, you know, we pray for you, we love you, you need to pray the rosary, you need to get a good catechist, a good catechism, and get with a good catechist to teach you why what you believe is a heresy. You come at them with that. From that perspective, it throws them. They don't know how to respond. You know?
Yeah. We had a caller from New York, and he's just basically agreeing that we agree that Jesus was born on December 25th, 2 B.C.
Amen to that.
And so, well, that's what it's all about. And so, did you all have a nice Thanksgiving there, Doc?
We went down to see my mother-in-law in Florida. I'm in Tennessee, about a 600-700 mile drive. Traffic wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but there are, it's inevitable. There is traffic. It wasn't bad. I got to spend time with my kids. I got to spend time with my wife. My mother-in-law, she's the salt of the earth. I literally hit the jackpot with mother-in-laws. You know, you always hear guys talking rag on their mother-in-law. Mine is literally the salt of the earth. And so we got to spend some time together. And, it was my birthday last Sunday. I turned 59.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, belated.
59. And it's the first year. My birthday is the 26th, so my mother's birthday is the 27th. And she died this last March. So it's her first birthday as an orphan, I guess. So, but all in all, I think we did pretty good. I got this. You know, back when you were a kid, the big party was the thing. But the way I look at it is every day I should be dead 100 times over. I should be paralyzed right now. I broke my back a year ago, June. So for me, every day, every minute of every day is a gift. It's time that I shouldn't have. So I try to look at it that way. So when bad things happen and they do, like the crossbow breaking, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I mean, I'm on borrowed time and it's a blessing. So I'm not going to spend my time dwelling on the negative when there's so much overwhelming positive things to look at out there. Even the smallest little thing, you know, can be, you know, profoundly important to the right person if you look at it in the right way.
Yeah, I agree. And so, well, Doc, I'm glad that you popped in, but I'm going to have to rock and roll because we've got a lot of things. But I wanted to do this, so I'm going to be doing this. I'm doing this, the Stand in the Gap with tomorrow. St. Francis Xavier is going to be in our as our guest tomorrow in
what
our Stand in the Gap. Well, it's going to be in the morning. It'll be in the morning sometime, probably after 10, probably. Well, after
I'll be at Mass.
I'll be going to Mass. Outstanding. I could go to the 7:30 in the morning, I could go to the 10:30, or I could go to the 11:30. So I just haven't made the decision which one I'm going to go to. But
I go to the traditional Latin Mass, and I got to drive an hour to get there. And the Mass is, you know, an hour plus, and then an hour back.
Yeah.
So we leave at 11. We don't get back till about 2. And we typically stop and eat. So typically we get home about 4. So for us, going to Mass is an all-day thing. But it's
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
We say the rosary on the road, and, you know, it's nice. Me and the wife get to talk, and, you know.
Well, that is good.
Yeah.
That is excellent.
I, I'll tell you what, Don, and I'm going to say this for everybody that's listening. When I was younger, a lot of times I caught myself praying for, Lord, give me. Lord, give me. That, you know, Lord, I need your help with. You know, that's how the prayer started most of my life. And a few years back, I stopped doing it. I wasn't even aware that I did. It's something I look back on. But I was like, I instead of, Lord, I need your help with this, I was like, Lord, help this person with that. And the blessings that have rained down on me ever since I started doing that, I can't even begin to count. I mean, I can't even begin to fathom. They're just, I'm not, you know, living on a yacht somewhere, you know, multi-million dollars. Those things, I mean, they'd be nice to have, but they don't really interest me. You know, the stuff that I have, the riches that I have, they can't be quantified monetarily, you know.
Yeah.
It's really
family.
So pray for other people. You will be amazed. All the things that you are, because Christ said it himself, you know, we know what that sparrow needs. What do you think we know about you? You know? So Christ knows what you need. You know, it may not be what you want, but he knows what you need. And if you accept that and start looking out for the others like he tells you to, your reward for that is abundance, not only in heaven, but down here in the mire, at least for me. I mean, I've got a home. I've got a home. I got food. I got family. I got the lights on. I'm in a relatively safe neighborhood. I mean, there are people in the world that can't say that. There are a lot of people in the world that can't say that. And it is my privilege. It was my work and sweat. But, you know, a lot of it, you know, I shouldn't be alive. Like I said, I shouldn't be alive to enjoy it. And I got a question for you. Sure.
I got a question for you. Kind of a popular modern-day Christian song, Mary, Did You Know?
I hate that song. Yes, she did.
Well,
I hate that song. That goes right along with systemic prejudice, which is a nonsensical term. It can't exist in reality. Did Mary know? Well, an angel Gabriel came to her and told her. So, yeah, she knew. That song, it's like nails on the chalkboard to me. I know a lot of people love that song, but they're by asking that question, you're throwing doubt. Believe it or not, by asking that very question, did Mary know? You're doubting the whole thing, the majesty, the presence of God, the angel Gabriel. Because if she didn't know after the angel Gabriel came and saw her, you know, boom, then, you know, that whole thing could be just a bedtime story, you know? And when I mean by systemic prejudice.
Well, like I do with some things, though, Doc, I would take something like that and I will convert it to the Catholic mindset. And the Catholic mindset is honoring Mary. And yes, she had an infusion of grace. It may not, but I can do that, and I can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got some good verses. It's got some good verses in it, and the verses that might try to correct. I agree with you that the title is misleading.
The whole thing is just, you know. I mean, I've heard it one time, and I couldn't even finish. I was like, no, of course she knew. I mean, I found the song insulting, to be perfectly honest. You know. Just like that term systemic prejudice. Here, I'm going to break that down for folks in the world right now. The word systemic means 100%. You have systemic lung cancer. You're breathing through tumors. It's a medical term, and it was co-opted by the left to make a pretty phrase, systemic prejudice, or systemic racism, excuse me. So if America is systemically racist, as they say, first off, they're admitting that they're a racist, but they're also accusing me of being a racist. They're accusing infants of being racist, elderly, insane people, people that don't even know what planet they're on. They're all racist. If you're in the borders of this country, you're a racist. And that includes all the 40 million plus illegals that came to this country in the last 3 years. All of them are racist too, because systemic means whole. So do you see how it's a nonsensical term? Does that make sense? Does that clear it up?
Well, I mean, the idea, in fact, that's, anytime I have seen that, I will always say, yes, she did. It was an infusion of knowledge that she received.
Yes, she
and
did.
So,
and that, yeah.
But since it's a very popular song that you'll hear at Christmas, and people are going to talk about it or ask you about it, and when they do, well...
That's what I tell them.
You know, just like any time I give counseling statements, you know, I was a senior NCO, and I had multiple soldiers, many soldiers, right? I tried to give them positives and negatives. And so that song, I will give the negative, but I mean the positive about it is that, like I said, some of the verses that they have in it may attempt to correct that. But if we know what we got here, what we have here, we can also correct it, because Mary did know. And I like the way you put that there, Doc, and the way, yes, when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, and he basically told her.
Well,
now, did Mary know
thing.
That he was going to walk on water and all this? Well,
yeah, but there's,
you know,
a lot
that
of
would
people
be life.
Realize this. Mary was the Immaculate Conception, which means she was born without original sin. Okay, so the way her brain worked was different than yours and mine. We are compelled, drawn to sin. It's in our nature. She didn't have that. So you can't tell me that she did not know from the moment that she gained any kind of understanding that there was something different about her than everybody else. She never sinned in her whole life, ever. In her whole life,
no.
Never, you know, she was in. It wasn't part of her, you know. Because she was born without that capability. You see what I'm saying? So did she know? Yes, she knew. It would be impossible for her not to know. You know, I mean that's why, you know, when I hear it, I've got a very type of analytical mind. I don't know if you realize it, but. When stuff just doesn't sound, when it's nonsensical, it stands out for me, you know, kind of like a tile that was put in the floor wrong. It jumps right out at me. That I'll see
but
that, you know, before I see anything in the room.
But you know, Our Lady
is
such a, Our Lady, the Virgin Mary is such a central part with Jesus and Mary. They're central to Christmas, the Christmas story. And
you know, we wouldn't have a Christmas story if it wasn't for Mary. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus is the Christmas story. You know,
and so are we when we are attached and a part of it. Our being Catholic, we are part of the story. We are.
Yeah.
We're part of the family.
We are the body of Christ.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, that sounds nice and everything like that, but a lot of people have a hard time picturing that, because when you get literal, you know, how can I be the body of Christ? Christ had his own body. Yes, he did, okay? But when we talk about that, we're talking about the church as a whole. Now, the church does have cancer, I'm sorry to say, but it's not terminal. You know, the church will never die. So it's not terminal cancer. And here's the cool thing. It's a self-correcting cancer, because the evil that is causing this cancer, those people are eventually going to die. And from what I've seen, we have some really dynamic priests coming up through the ranks. We still got bad ones, but we have some dynamic young men that are stepping up. And they're taking the reins, and, you know, eventually the evil will die out, and we've lived through it before. We have. If you know more than I have, there's been
the
several
Holy Spirit,
of anti-popes and so forth. So we'll get
the Holy
this.
Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the soul of the church, and Jesus made three promises that I hold on to. He promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He promised that he would remain with it until the end. And the third, he gave it the Holy Spirit. And so I can trust that the Lord is in control. And yes, bad thing. People are going to make...
We're deeper truth. This is deeper truth. We got to admit the truth. There are bad elements in the church, okay? Now, the problem or the thing that I want people to understand is, yes, there's a bad element in the church. It has been here for quite some time. And it's in a lot of the powerful seats. Now they've gone against doctrine where they say LGBTQ whatever is a real thing, which it's a mental illness. And they can take part of some of the sacraments, which is against doctrine. So it's not real. If it goes against doctrine,
no,
I don't accept it. And no Catholic should. Okay? Now, the thing is, this is what I mean by self-curing cancer. The men that have done this, eventually, they're going to pass. It's inevitable. They're going to die. And when they do, they'll be judged on what they did. I'm not going to judge them. They'll be judged on what they did. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will at one point intervene and put those holy men that are coming up through the ranks, put them back in a position of power. And this filth that has, this cancer that has eroded in the church will be removed. That's me personally, but I don't want people to think that because of the cancer that's in the church now, this is going to be the church forever. Because
it's not.
I mean, here's something that I came up with, and I've been trying to think of a way to put it. If you take a regular sheet of paper and draw a line across the top of it, eternity goes out on both of those lines, okay? That line is God, and it goes out indefinitely in both directions. And you scratch the smallest part of that line. Just find anywhere along that line that's on that paper and draw a line down. That is the length of time that humanity has existed. Now, you really think God is going to change himself for... I mean, I have an itch that don't last longer than that. We have barely scratched existence compared to God. You really think these evil men are going to make a dent? It's laughable. You know, the God that I believe in, these men, I got you. When they pass, I'll deal with them. You know, he's dealing with the cosmos, and he still knows how many hairs are on my head. He is beyond our comprehension. So for these men to say they know what he wants or whatever, it's ludicrous. It literally is ludicrous. And a lot of them have basically come right out and said they're worshiping Bala or whatever, you know. And that's happened through the – read the Old Testament. It's happened before. Moses went up. He was up there 40 days there worshiping a cow. You know, I mean, Christ has been gone for 2,000 years. People have fallen. But the thing is, if the promises that you just mentioned, Don, those are real. Those are absolute. Mm-hmm. And they're as long as that line at the top of the paper. We are literally a blip to God. All our existence. I mean, if you think about it, in the overall stretch of, you know, eternity, really? And you think you know? With all your vast wisdom and experience.
Well, Doc, I'm going to have to go because I think Gigi's. But I tell you what, I thank you for popping in, and that's good.
Yeah,
We'll be doing this.
Are we ever going to go back and do the political one? Because, dude, there's a lot going on there.
Maybe, but I'll have to try to figure that one out because right now I'm trying to spend more time with Gigi than I can.
Right,
and,
right.
Just, so, but
okay,
we will work
something
out.
We were doing it tonight. This is the show that the time we did it. So, but anyway, I'll talk to you later, man. Give Gigi my love, man, and from Sean
I will.
Too. We think about her often.
Yep.
We keep her in our prayers.
Thank you very much. I'll let them know. In fact, she'll be hearing some of this. So I'm going to end this with this song here, and I'll play this for you there. God bless you, Doc, and all your family.
Well, thank you.
Michael, and all everybody. All right, here we go. Well, there he goes.
Joy to the world.